That Celtic prayer is so beautiful. It's so moving. And of course, when I think of Celtic prayer, I think of Ireland. And when I think of Ireland, I think of the trip that my wife and I and some dear friends took just before I started here. And driving on these very narrow roads and coming upon huge flocks of sheep. So many sheep that we noticed that their bellies had been spray painted with a particular color so that the shepherds knew their sheep from their neighbor's sheep. It's been said that when preaching on Psalm 23, you should simply read the psalm and then just sit down. It's a very compact psalm, only 55 words in Hebrew. To translate it into English takes 110 words. And it has become such a precious touchstone of faith. It's so familiar and precious to both Jews and Christians. Pastor Addie and I, more often than not, are asked to read Psalm 23 during a memorial or graveside service. And as people of faith, we are so comforted by the promise that even while moving through life's most darkest valleys, even death, God is close by. God is with us. This morning, I'd like to focus on the God who is with us. The God who is with us. Like so many of you, I am prone to have flashbacks of my early childhood. And about the age of 7 or 8, I encouraged my dad to walk me through one of those very dark and scary fun houses at the Jersey Shore. It may have been Asbury Park or Wildwood. I don't think it was my dad's idea. I think it was my idea. My decision. And I confess that I didn't know what I was thinking. The fun house was not fun. Not a minute or so into the walk, complete darkness, scary music, twisting turns, slanted floors, rough walls, I became terrified. And my dad was right there in front of me, leading the way. right there behind him. And I remember this so vividly. I grabbed onto the center belt loop of his pants. He always wore gray Dickies work pants. You know, with the industrial belt loops. And I remember grabbing onto that loop for dear life. I was that frightened. And I was fully, entirely, faithfully dependent upon my dad. Psalm 23 is about a lot of things, mostly our dependency on God, our creator, our sustainer, and our guide. We may think we are entirely on our own, but the psalmist begs to differ. You see, you and I, we grow up. And we are prone to get used to life in the proverbial funhouse. We acclimate to the darkness that shadows our society. We get frustrated but come to tolerate the twists and turns of injustice. We become seduced onto crooked paths. We get lost. Americans, for the most part, consider Psalm 23 a very personal and intimate psalm, and it is. However, for the ancient Hebrews, Psalm 23 is also about the shepherd king, the one who sees societal darkness, the one who abhors the injustice of the poor and vulnerable people. This is the God who sees vulnerable people and what they endure and calls forth prophets to denounce the crooked corridors of power and prepares for God's people a table of goodness in the presence of these enemies, which according to scripture include national leaders who are false shepherds, those forces of tyranny. Even when we feel the societal confusion and disorientation, it does not mean that God is lost or that God is gone. The psalmist proclaims that God is a gracious host in the midst of the world's chaos, ready to supply us with everything we could possibly need. We are the sheep. God is the shepherd. God is our source of restoration in the midst of so much darkness and chaos, both internal and societal. If we choose to hold on to God in the way I fastened my finger around my dad's belt loop while walking through that funhouse, we will be led to safety, to still waters, places where we can find rest in the midst of troubled and troubling waters. It might sound trite for the psalmist to employ the image of sheep as God's people. Wouldn't it be nice if the image of God's people was something a bit more robust? like that of an Olympic team. Olympic athletes are indeed special, but sheep are precious. In the ancient world, and even today, in places like Ireland, sheep are a precious commodity. Not only needed for their milk, but for their wool, for weaving, even their poop, even sheep dung in the ancient world was a source of fuel. Without sheep, the Israelites would not have been able to survive. We are God's people, God's sheep. And God needs each and every one of us just as much as the Israelites needed their sheep. God not only needs us, but encourages us to walk in right paths. Just paths. Generous paths. And probably the part of Psalm 23 that speaks to me most powerfully right now are the words of verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Language translations are often never perfect. In the Hebrew, the words that God shall follow me all the days of my life, in Hebrew, it's a little more robust. The literal Hebrew is that God will pursue me all the days of my life. God is active, pursuing us. Of course, we can turn aside, we can turn away. But the truth is that God continues to pursue me and pursue you. And I don't mean pursuit in God stalking you. But this is the God who wants good for you. This is the God that wants joy for you. This is the God who won't give up on you. God will not turn away. Even when you and I let go of that proverbial belt loop of God's, God is going to turn around and God is going to look for you. And God's going to care for you. And God is going to find you. Even when we are lost and forsaken, God is there. And finally, I have to mention that Psalm 23 is a declaration as to why Earth Day which we will celebrate tomorrow, is so very important. You see, Psalm 23 connects human beings to nature. Sheep, green pastures, still waters, even the image of the valley, places of refuge, restoration, and peace. Earth Day was first celebrated on April 22nd, 1970. Obviously aligning with the first day of spring. And it's a strong reminder that humans and the environment are inextricably connected. Just this morning, Don Akis was sharing with Helen and myself that he has bluebird eggs in his bluebird house that he is monitoring. This very fragile environment, these beautiful birds, this beauty that we're connected to. On the very first Earth Day, 20 million people showed up for protests. 20 million people demanding more in the way of environmental protection. And for those of you who were around in the 70s, it wasn't pretty. Lots of the rivers and streams in Pennsylvania were polluted. There were rivers in the United States, the Cuyahoga I'm thinking of in Ohio, that actually caught fire. It had so many toxic chemicals in it that a train was going by and sparks flew off the rails and ignited the Cuyahoga River outside of Cleveland. That's how toxic and how dangerous things were. We have come a long way. And it is God, this God who's pursuing us, pursuing a beautiful earth, and pursuing us, that is at the center of this beautiful song. And that is good news. Amen.